we're going to be talking about grace. And, you know, I was trying to, I was remembering a funny story from our church this morning. Wanted to kind of share it with you. A while back, we had a group of youth that wanted to go on a youth trip to Silver Dollar City during the Young Christian Weekend, right before the season starts at Silver Dollar City. They do something that just for Christian kids and families to come, and so they kind of give you a discounted rate to do that. And one of the problems with taking our youth group was that it was difficult to pay for the lodging to be overnight on a group that big, and so we had a young youth director, and his wife had received this invitation from a timeshare that said you could get a free overnight stay in one of their timeshares. It was a gift. It was just because they were so gracious that they wanted to give us this gift. Well, I'm just going to ask you something. Was it really just that they were gracious that they wanted to do that? Okay, how many of you guys have ever gone on one of those? There's going to be a price to pay. And so I was really trying to just, you know, stay out of the planning of this and let our new youth pastor and he was newlywed, and his wife was actually from Mexico. I don't think that she'd ever been confronted with one of these propositions before. So she was really excited, and she brought it to me, and she said, "We got the answer. We're not going to have to pay anything, and we're going to get all of our meals provided and everything." And I said, I'm pretty sure that's not going to work. And so I really didn't want to be forceful or whatever. I said, but now you need to call them back, and you need to make sure that they understand that you are bringing a whole group of youth to stay in this facility. She said, "They've even got a swimming pool, and we get to use it for free." She said, "Can you believe they'd be so nice to us?" And I said, "No." So I really couldn't stop this from happening without just really stepping in and making demands. So I decided that I would just offer to go because I knew what was going to happen. And so we got through the weekend, you know, we were getting ready to check out, and they were called to the office. We were not getting out of that place till we paid. And that's the way it is with a lot of things in this world. Amen? Have you ever had, for instance, this telephone was free, only I've paid $16 a month for it ever since I received it. They told me it was free. They assured me it was free. And I said, "Now, you're not adding something to my bill for that phone." "No, because you've been such a good customer, Mr. Jones. We're giving you that phone for free." Well, they call them bill credits. But it still costed me $16 a month till I get the phone paid off. So was it really free? And now on the same token, let's say that somebody really wanted to give you a very expensive gift because they were gracious and good to you, and they just wanted you to receive it totally, free of charge. If you turned around, let's say it was a brand new Ford pickup. Okay, I got their attention now. Everybody loves Fords. Brand new Ford pickup. They wanted to give it to you. And let's say it's your rich uncle who was just so glad that you guys got reunited and so just wanted you to take it. But you turned around and you said, "Nah, I don't feel right doing that. I'll give you all the money in my wallet today." And you open up your wallet and your wallet looks like mine. You got a dollar. But you give them that dollar and they said, "No, I don't want it. You know, I just want it. This is a free gift. I want you to have a free gift." But you just went ahead and stuffed a dollar in their couch cushion or something before you left the house. And then when people would ask you, "Hey, where'd you get the truck?" Then you say, "I bought it." That would be an insult to the giver, wouldn't it? Because you see, they wanted you to have it as a gift. And maybe you're too prideful and you want to think that I don't want something that's just given to me. I want to make sure I earn it. I don't know if you guys ever listen to country music, but whenever I was young, I used to listen to country music, and there was this song by Joe Diffie. And he's probably, I'm showing my age. I don't even know if he's still alive. But is he? He's not? Okay. Well, Joe had this song out, and I don't remember the title of the song, but one of the lines in the song was, "If I didn't earn it, I don't want it. That way I can always say I got it honest." And you know what? That was a huge stumbling block for me getting saved. Because it was hard for me to believe that God, the only way that you could be saved is to receive Jesus as a free gift. Free gift. It's the only way. You can't earn it. But you know, that is the nature of grace. And that's what we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2 today, looking at this free gift. Now, as we look at that word, you know, I'm thinking about God's amazing grace. And man, I'm going to tell you, it is more amazing than what you can imagine. It is more amazing than what you can imagine. We think we can get our mind wrapped around it, but we just look at the word grace that's used there. Charis would be the Greek word transliterated that we're dealing with there. And if you look at the possible definitions for that, grace, graciousness, kindness, goodwill, a gift, a favor, right? Those things are all like synonyms of the definition for this word grace. And so we begin to see that, like, this is a gift, and if we really want to take a look at what we really deserve, I mean, imagine what we really deserve. We really all deserve to be punished for our sin, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? God is perfect. God doesn't just give, like, free passes for sin. He doesn't just turn his back on sin. He doesn't just let it go. He's perfect, and he's just in every way. And you know what we earn when we sin? It's the wage. We earn death. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. What did he tell Adam and Eve? He told Adam, if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And you know, it speaks of a physical death. That's when physical death entered the world, when they sinned, when they disobeyed God for the first time. It also speaks of spiritual death. But there's the but God there. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's only God can change this pattern. This is what we deserve. And if you look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So can we see that we fit into at least one or more of those categories? You know, we might say, well, I never actually murdered anybody. I get that a lot when you talk to people about, do they deserve heaven? Well, I never really actually murdered anybody. I'm always relieved to hear that. But have you ever hated somebody? Have you ever told a lie? I actually had one guy that said he had murdered people. That scared me a little bit. And he was serious. He started describing it. So, anyway. Yeah, that you didn't expect that. You don't have to pay any extra on that one. I went in and told him he deserved hell. You might think I backed out at that point. He agreed. He knew it. We all instinctively know that we deserve punishment. And so that's what we deserve. That's what we deserve. But God, who is gracious and merciful, right? But God, when you see the words "but God" in the Bible, things are about to change. Praise God that he did something. And in Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 26, thereafter that chapter 20, or verse 23 that we read about us all sinning and falling short of the glory of God, being justified freely by what? His grace. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. Guys, the price had to be paid. That's what that word propitiation means. It means paid in full, completely. Only Jesus could pay that in full, because he was the only one who never sinned. Through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. You see, he didn't pass over them and show grace then because, you know, he would just turn his back and forget about it. It wasn't like that. It's because he was looking forward the whole time to Jesus, that he was going to send Jesus, and those who had faith in him sending Jesus could be saved, just like we are saved through faith in Jesus, right? And so he had passed over those things that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Grace. Let's say it together. Grace. You don't earn grace. You can't pay for grace. If you try to pay for grace, you're despising grace. If we try to pay for our salvation so that we can show that we earned it, we were good enough, I'm good enough to make it into heaven, we're despising the grace of the giver. We're trying to take some of the glory, and we need to make sure we don't do that. We need to make sure we see what grace is so that we can then be thankful, so that we can then be humble, so that we can then reach out to others. We can see that since I've been saved by grace and God's grace is freely given, God's grace is also available to someone else. That's why we can have prison ministries and see people come to salvation even while in prison. Amen? That's why we can offer it to the one who's in the deepest hole of addiction and say, Jesus will lift you up if you turn your life over to him. He is so amazing in his grace, and it doesn't matter where we are. Do you all remember who actually authored the song Amazing Grace? What did he used to be? A slave trader. Those words take on new meaning, don't they? I was once lost, but now I'm found, right? It's so amazing how God lifts us up. And it doesn't matter if he lifted us up whenever we were 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, as a child, or if he lifts us up as my testimony is at 30, after having done many things, or as my grandmother on my mother's side was 86, folks. The same grace. She didn't deserve it. I don't deserve it. And the four-year-old doesn't deserve it. It's all by grace. It's the only way. You know, a lot of people, even after we receive the grace, sometimes we still think somehow maybe we earned it, or we're earning it as we go. And what we got to see in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7 is, he makes it clear, guys, no one can earn salvation. He says there in verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God, do you see where grace comes from? It's the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's a work of God. You know why you became convicted of your sin one day? Because God's Holy Spirit tapped on your heart and showed you. It wasn't because all of a sudden one day you got smart. It's because the Holy Spirit touched you. He touched me. I'm forever grateful. It wasn't my doing. It wasn't me that woke up one day and got intelligent enough to search for God. I'm telling you, I know it for sure. In fact, I was still kind of pushing away from him. It was God who touched my heart that night that I got saved. He showed me. I asked him, I said, Lord, if you're really the only way, I want to know. And I'm going to tell you, he convicted me of my sin that night like I had never experienced before. It wrecked me. I began to weep. I fell to the floor on my knees with nobody else there. It was me and the Lord. There wasn't a great preacher here to tell me what prayer to say. There wasn't anybody. It was me and God. And I'm going to tell you, he showed me there was only one way. I couldn't earn it. I couldn't manufacture it. I wasn't smart enough to come up with it. It was by surrendering to him was the only place I could find it. It was that regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit in my heart that even opened my eyes to be able to see it, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Guys, it's by grace that we are saved, through faith. Whenever I ask Jesus, Lord, are you the only way? He just showed me that it was my sin that nailed him to that cross. You know what? I have way better than I deserve. I deserve hell. He's given me salvation. I may have struggles in life, and I may go through hard times just like all the rest of us. Man, I'm going to tell you, I better never forget how amazing God's grace is. And you know, a lot of people say, what are we going to do forever in heaven? You know what you're going to do? You're going to be in awe of God. You're going to be so pleased. You're going to be so satisfied being in the presence of God's grace all the time. Seeing how what he did was so amazing. Seeing how it affected all of the people who are in heaven in the same way it affected you. We are going to be so connected together like God intended it to be in the first place. You're not going to have temptation. You're not even going to be tempted to sin anymore. Praise God. Can I hear praise the Lord? We're not even going to want to disobey him at all. All of that's going to be removed. Our fun is not going to be in the things that would be disobedient or sinful. Our desire is going to be just to be in his grace all the time, in his presence. How amazing. And we're going to see how all of it fits together. You see, God's amazing grace is displayed here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Let's read it together. Let's all stand for the reading of these verses. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for showing us your grace through Jesus. Thank you for loving us in such an extravagant way. Lord, it wasn't because we deserve it in any way, shape, or form, and we can't earn it. And if we try, we're only despising it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we have nothing to boast of in this. It's all about you. Oh, Lord, help us to live that every day and help us to preach that and live it to others. And, Lord, I pray that you will begin to show us even more. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat. That was such a beautiful thing for you to all stand up and read that together, because we are saying, this is for me. I have been saved by grace through faith. Isn't that beautiful? That grace is that free gift, and that faith is like, it's like the tunnel or the passageway, the conduit that it comes to us through and takes us right to the throne. Guys, that faith, and if we break that word, that Greek word pistis down, it's more than just this head knowledge, right? Because in the scripture it tells us to be saved, we've got to believe in our heart. And that heart belief is more than just a head belief. There's a lot of things I can study and kind of understand, but I'm going to tell you, I got to trust it if I'm actually going to put my life on it, right? I got to trust it. And so that word speaks to the, like, faith or trust. And man, it's all it's all seated in the trustworthiness and reliability of God. Okay? So I'm just going to ask you, is God trustworthy? And if you know that he's trustworthy and you present this to others, you've got to understand they have got to come to the place that they're able to trust his trustworthiness and his reliability. Have confidence and assurance and conviction. Belief, and that needs to be what all of our doctrine is built on. Guys, I'm going to tell you, this faith, this word is bigger than what we allow it to be sometimes. It means that, you know, I've used the description that somebody gave one time. There's a lot of people that can stand down on the ground and watch the guy on the tight wire, the tight rope, and say, yeah, I believe he can make it from one side to the other, but faith is when you'll get up there with him. Whenever you will put yourself in his little wheelbarrow that he's taken across that tightrope and say, I believe he can make it to the other side. And I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that on that instance. But with God, he has shown me without a doubt, he is the way. He has shown me time and time again. He's shown me through changed lives like yours. He's shown me through the continual prayer of the saints that he inspires, and how the persecuted church is a great example of his grace. They just keep living it, even when it's hard. We got history of the church before us, let's not forget to mention the disciples who were willing to die for it. Amen? And you know what? Then I began to trust him and live it myself. And I see what all he's done in my life, and my faith is continuing to grow. It starts out just like he said, the size of a mustard seed. You ever see a mustard seed? It's tiny. Man, I'm going to say, it's so amazing what comes forth from it as it grows. You see, God's purpose in all of this is he gives us his grace, and it comes to us through the faith, is found in verse 10. Now you're ready to serve him. It's all about him. And if it's all about him, he'll use you. He's got a purpose for you. And what's so amazing is this purpose was even prepared beforehand. Look at what he says. For we are his workmanship. Let's read it together. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Guys, we've got to make sure we do not get the cart before the horse. We have got to know that salvation is by grace through faith, and then once we have found ourselves there, now we are ready to do the work of God and give him all the glory. Amen? You're not earning anything. All you're doing is desiring to bring him glory at that point. And what's so awesome is God is so big in his foreknowledge and his predestinational purpose in things. He already has prepared the works that he wants you to do. Do you know why I'm in Cadet, Missouri as the pastor? Because God, before I was even created, had already created this purpose for me. I just stepped into it whenever I became saved. I just stepped into what his purpose for my life is. There's so many things that God allows us to do. Don't ever take credit for it. It's God's gift in your life so that you can bring him glory. We all serve in different ways too, right? And they're all equally important. It's beautiful to see the gifts that God's given everybody in this room. And I know you guys all really well, and I love that. To see how God uses you in specific ways. Guys, it's not an accident, and it's not your doing as much as it is God's grace. Let's give him the glory for it. And let's remember, yes, once we are saved, he has got work for us to do, and that is part of our walk with him. In James chapter 2, verses 17 through 20, he says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You see, that faith is, again, getting all the way in. And if you're all the way in, now you can serve God by his power. That's what he wants. And it needs to be the display of our faith. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So you are saved by grace through faith unto good works, that we might give God all the glory. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful thing that God has done? And I think forever in heaven is going to be seeing how he worked through you, how he worked through us, how he worked through all these people all around the world, and how connected we are in that. Isn't it going to be amazing? You know, it's just allow God to use you, and all those connections just begin to come together. It's beautiful. I wanted to share with you that your work in giving to Pastor Anthony in Sri Lanka has brought about great fruit. It is still bringing about great fruit. And it was just a humble gift from us, and it was beautiful that even after we gave that gift this morning, the gift continued to grow. Others wanted more to be added to that, and by the time I was able to make that wire transfer, it was a larger gift. And I got back pictures and things that he showed how this food was being distributed, and we've been able to continue to connect with him. He said things are starting to get a little better with their government, and things are beginning to get more stable. But he said people are coming to church, and they are faithful. I'm going to say, guys, what you did to connect with that church, it wasn't to our glory, because none of that was something that we manufactured. That was something God funneled through us. And it's bringing about fruit right now. Praise God. And so I want you to know that as you let God use you in other ways, a call to the neighbor, a knock on a door, a loving act when a person is sick, or maybe when they're in need, or you just see that their grass is really tall, and they maybe you don't realize it, but they've been sick for a while, and maybe they're discouraged, and they just, you know, you stop by, hey, can I mow your grass? Or hey, is there anything I could do for you today? It might be a game changer in their life that God uses you to show them his grace. Isn't that awesome how God does it? Let's allow God to use us. Let's pray that he will. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to have our song of invitation. Dear Father, I just want to lift up my life to you. God, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. Lord, you're the reason why I exist, and you're the reason why I have a place in heaven whenever I pass on from this world. Lord, it isn't because of any good thing that I've ever done. And Lord, all of my good works are like filthy rags. But Lord, what you do through me is to your praise and your glory. And so help us, Lord, just to be surrendered to you, to be appreciative for your gift. We had Simon the Pharisee in the Bible invited Jesus over to dinner. I think he did it just to kind of show everybody, hey, I'm getting in on this. Look at me. I'm really great. And that sinful woman came in there and washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And Simon, the Pharisee, despised her for that. And then he despised you, Lord Jesus, because you didn't rebuke her. And he said in his heart, if he knew what